Blog Talk Radio.
Holy Ghost, I'm so grateful, God, you know you did the most when you created her for me, Lord, you know. I have witnessed your glory, all this favor you showed me. When you gave it to me, I had to learn what to do with your blessing. Now I know that a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. So every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ led a church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Read it to me, tell me what it says. I know that you don't make mistakes, so if it's in the book, then it must be okay to love her. No, I'm not ashamed. Feels like a wedding night, I pray, oh yeah. Yes, a man who finds it, the wife finds a good thing. So every time I think of her, I'm thinking you. And when I give my love to her, I'm thinking you. Loving her like Christ loved a church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. I don't understand why we can't talk about being in love with the one he gave us. He know what he was doing, but she was his greatest creation. So I hope that you don't mind when I testify the way I do. Her like Christ loved a church, 'cause you told me to. Yeah, she a missy on your glory. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I'm under your covenant, so I ain't worried. I'm just thanking you. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. When I think of her, I'm just thanking you. When I give her love, I'm just thanking you. Married and in love, I'm just thanking you. You.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to our Blog Talk Radio with Apostle Rosa Arnold, teaching on the importance of living in faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, oh Heavenly Father, as I come before you this day, I enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. I give you all the thanksgiving, the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I bless your holy name, for it is a good thing to give thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. Father, I take the time to magnify, praise, and exalt your holy name, because you are worthy to be praised. Therefore, I will bless you, O Lord, at all times, and your praise shall continuously be in my mouth. How excellent is your name in all the earth. There is no one like you, O Lord, for you are far above all nations, kings, kingdoms, principalities, and powers. You are the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Before you, O Lord, there was no other, and you shall outlive eternity itself. You are clothed with beauty, strength, honor, and majesty. Father, I serve you with gladness, and I come before your presence with thanksgiving. My God, hallelujah. I know that you, O Lord, are God, for you have made us and not we ourselves. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. You alone do it great wonders throughout all the earth. With your wisdom, you made the heavens. And with the power of your word, you stretched out the earth above the waters. You gave us the sun to rule by day, and the moon and stars to rule by night. Oh, wonderful Father, oh, gentle Savior, oh, mighty, powerful, blessed Holy Ghost, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Shinibahaya. We thank you in Jesus' most holiest of all names. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. You now have our honorable apostle, Rosa L. Autumn. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we just give him praise today. We just give him glory and honor for all the wondrous things that he has done for us and all the wondrous things that he wants to do for us. Hallelujah. What shall I render to Jesus? What shall I give, O Lord? What shall I render to Jesus? What shall I give? Oh, yes, Lord. My heart, Lord, I render to Jesus. My heart, Lord, I give, oh Lord. My heart, Lord, I render to Jesus. My heart, Lord, I give. My soul, Lord, I render to Jesus, my soul. Lord, I give, oh Lord, my soul. Lord, I render to Jesus my soul. Lord, I give, oh yes, Lord, my life I render to Jesus, my life, Lord, I give, oh Lord, Lord, my life I render to Jesus, my life, my soul, my heart, Lord, I give. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. This is what God is reaching out to his people through all of these awful things, not just the pandemic, how the violence, the turbulence in the skies with the weather, everything that's happened, Christ is crying out to us. Hallelujah. Render your heart, your soul. Render me your life. Hallelujah. Because I want you. I want you. Hallelujah. Oh, no. That with all these things that happened, the Lord isn't doing all of this. But he has allowed it to happen. Because it's getting close to the time of the time of his soon return. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I know we've been families have been standing, but you see, it wasn't the time. Father has a set time on his clock for everything to happen. Everything in its own place. He will use certain people that we don't even understand why they're doing what they're doing, but he will use them to bring about his plan. Look how he did with Jesus. One of his disciples denied him. One betrayed him. Why? Then they fled from it because of fear. Because they had not allowed all that Jesus had taught them to take root deep down inside of them, that they cannot be swayed. Even though trouble comes, pain comes, all kind of things come to trouble us, to turn our minds off the word of God and onto what's happening. Hey, God wants us to be like the palm tree. Oh, when the storms come, the palm tree, it bends all the way down to the ground. Oh, but when the storm passes over, it rises back up, taller and stronger than before. He wants us to be like the eagle. Hallelujah. He wants us to mount up over our problems, mount up over those things that are coming against us, those things that are happening. And eagle rises up above the storm, locks its wings in, and it stays there until he soars there, until the Lord let him know it's time to come back down. He wants to do the same thing for us. He wants us to lock ourselves in to his faith, that faith that he gave us, the size of a mustard seed. He wants us to hear the word and let that word take root in us, because it's hearing the word of God that brings about faith. Hearing it, then we can act on it. In our lesson today, which is an extension of what we talked about last Saturday, God says, now faith is. He wants us to know exactly what it is and how we can walk in it. Oh, hallelujah. It thrills him when his people act out on his word, when they take his word into their heart and they will not allow unbelief come into it. If we say, oh, and I just said this, that's a doubting word, and but, oh, hallelujah, God wants us to ask those things out of our spirit, out of our heart, our mind, when we're talking about his faith that he has given us, that he has imparted into us. He wants us to close everything out and let go and let him move in us and operate in us and operate through us. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:1 tells us now, hallelujah, or you could say, now faith is. N-O-W means something happening right now. It means in the present. It means happening now. It means present, not future. And then it tells us, now faith is the substance. Faith becomes the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. If you remember in his word, he tells us, to see those things that be not as though they were. Call those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Faith gives us substance to things hoped for. You see, hope doesn't have any substance, but faith does. Faith gives such that you're hoping for. So in other words, what his father said here in Hebrews 11:1, he's saying that faith is taking hold of the unseen realm of hope. You can't see hope. Hush up. And bringing it into the realm of reality. Hallelujah. Faith is taking hold, seeing realm of hope, and bringing it into the realm of reality. Faith, we know, grows out of the word of God. But what does it tell us over in Romans 10 and 17. He says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hear it by the word of God. Hallelujah. Another translation of Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the warranty deed, that thing for which you have finally hoped for is finally yours. Yours. So our text today is telling us that faith is the evidence of things not seen. You know, for an example, we might hope for finances to meet a particular obligation, be assured. Give us the assurance that we're going to have that money when we need it. We're going to have it. Again, you might be hoping for physical strength to be able to do something, to move something, to pick up something, or pick up a person. I used to, when my sister had cancer, and I would pick her up to carry her to the bathroom. I could do that well. God gave me the strength to do that. But bringing her back to the bed, I would pick her up, and if all I could do was make it to the bed. And I would almost drop that poor baby. You know, I would put her down too fast. She never complained. She just always had a beautiful smile. Mother fasting 20 days, 30 days. She could pick her up like she was a piece of feather. Take her to the bathroom, bring her back and lay her so gently down on the bed. Gives you the physical strength to do whatever it is that you need to do. Hallelujah. Whatever task that is set before you, faith can do it for you. Hallelujah. And over in Psalms 27:1, that's another part of acting on your faith, releasing your faith. For it says that the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It takes faith to believe that. To believe that the Lord is the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Whom shall I be afraid? So in other words, what is faith telling us? Faith is saying the same thing that the Word of God says. Faith and the Word of God is one and the same. Now, unbelief is really taking sides against God's word. When you allow unbelief to come into your heart, it's acting against the word of God. If you remember the centurion who was asking God to pray, and he was said, he believed, but help my unbelief. You see, he acknowledged he was believing Jesus, but there still could be an element of unbelief, of doubt in his heart, and he didn't want it in there. We should not want anything pertaining to unbelief. We can believe God for the impossible. Hallelujah. You see, the sad thing about it is, there's so many believers, so many who are talking doubt and unbelief, and they're taking sword, and they don't even realize it. They don't realize it. And then these same believers wonder why God's word doesn't work for them. I'm believing why God doesn't work for me. My heart goes out to so many that have gotten in prayer lines all all over this world, praise God, that have gotten in for a nice hope and believe it, not releasing their faith, but God, to heal them, to deliver them, and to send them free. You see, God's word won't work for you. It won't work for us if we take time. Oh, God. We must sign in with the word of God for it to work for us. You must read the word, take it in, take sides with it, believe it, and don't let doubt come in. Don't even recognize if or but. None of those words. Hallelujah. What is faith? What is Bible faith? One of the best ways to find out what Bible faith is to find out what it isn't. It may sound strange, but that's the best way to find out what it is. Find out what it isn't. And then you'll find what it is. You'll be able to see more clearly what faith is. So we're going to follow that in our lives and in our study. As we find out even more about what faith is, what Bible faith is. So, we're going to find out first what it's not. And the word tells us that faith is not hope. It's not hope. But when you pray for people, and I pray for people, I mean, lines and lines and revivals, and they just be so wanting God to heal them or one of their loved ones. And you ask them, sister, will you believe as I lay my hands on you that God is going to heal you? And they say, oh, Pastor, I hope so. Oh, I'm so hoping that God is going to heal me. And you see the pain and anguish all over them, and it hurts you to your heart because you know that hope is not going to do it. Other people say, I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. So in order for us that love the Lord, that's walking according to his word, in order for them to show them that wanting something from God is not enough. Just wanting is not enough. Hey, we might want a new Cadillac. But just wanting it is not going to give it to us. We might want to bring you home. But just wanting it and not with the capital and whatever it takes to get it, it's not going to work. You see, wanting something from God just won't get the job done. If just wanting something from God was all that it took to receive from God, we all have been made. Wouldn't be in the problems. We would receive instantly. But faith that receives from God, it isn't hoping and it's not wanting. So we're finding out what faith is it. And when we put those things aside, that hope and wanting is not going to do it, then the only kind of faith that gets the work done is the Bible kind of faith. And the Bible kind of faith believes God for his word. And then it acts on what it believes. We believe. Over in Mark 11:24, And I pray this prayer over people. Allotment, I pray for them, especially in revival. Hallelujah. As God leads me. Because you see, the only kind of faith that gets the job done is the Bible kind of faith that gets the job done. Faith that believes God and faith that acts on what it believes. Mark 11:24. It reads, "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." So what is Jesus saying? He also says in Mark 21:22, he also said, "All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." What is that scripture saying again? Matthew 21:22. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't say in the scripture, whatever you ask for in prayer hoping, you shall receive. He said, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Hallelujah. So if we want to know whether we are really believing God or if we're just hoping, I'm going to tell you the difference, how to tell the difference. Hope is always future tense. Always. Because hope always looks to the future. Let's take, for instance, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we're part of, does have a blessed hope of Jesus' return. It also has a blessed hope that the coming of Christ, the resurrection of the saved dead. And I believe those saved dead, and those of us here, but we are dead to the sin in our life, because Paul tells us to die daily. My mother and others, they're already in heaven. She had a chance to go there and come back. My father had an opportunity to go to hell and come back. And so that when people die, they're already in one of two places. No in between. One or the other. So then the resurrection of the saved dead, those of us, hallelujah, that are dying daily to old self. That old self, that soulish realm. You see, when we receive Christ, we get a new, he comes into our spirit. Our spirit is renewed. But our soulish realm and our body is not. We have to work on them. We have to work on them so that we can bring our soulish realm and our body under subjection to God. Under subjection to the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're not going to be just hoping. We're going to be believing. If you're seeking for the Holy Spirit, it's not in the future that you want to be filled with the Spirit. It's right now. And as long as you put out believing, you receive the blessing. The blessing will be in the future. And it will stay in the future. And you'll never get to it. But now, right now, is what you want. Whatever God has promised us, whatever he's promised us in his word, we don't want it in the future. We want it right now. So then faith for salvation is not hoping for salvation. If it's salvation that a person wants, it's not in the future that he wants to be saved. If you ask the person, do you want to be saved? Do you want to give your heart to God? It's not in the future, it's right now. They need it right now. They're asking for it right now. But there's so many people that have come through the prayer line and so many people that have called and asked for prayer, and you ask them and they tell you, I've been hoping to be saved. So long. It was a man that had been hoping for 50 years. He came to church with his wife all the time, and she was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. He wanted it, but he just didn't know how. He kept hoping that he would get it. Hallelujah. And I pray that he has. Because some people just can't let go. They can't let go and receive that the Father had willingly to give to us. It's people that come sometimes with tears in their eyes and they want to get saved, but they can't let go. Satan has such a hold on them that they can't release, no matter what you say, no matter how you tell them to release. And unfortunately, they die and they go to hell. But I thank God. God, when he makes a promise to you, that he promised my mother that all of her children would be saved, or and her husband. When my father first died, he wasn't saved. But the Holy Ghost brought him back, and I gave him this sinner's prayer, and he repeated it with his lips, but he couldn't speak yet because life was just coming back into him. The paramedics came, they carried him to the closest hospital so they could pronounce him dead. When they took his blood pressure, it was 60 over 40. See what they didn't realize, Hashaka, that the Holy Spirit was putting life back into my father. That he was coming back alive. Osha. And when they put him in emergency, and I asked, can I go to him? Can I pray for him? And Dr. Shelton said, yes, he was the head of the hospital. Daddy's doctor hadn't got there yet. And I said, Daddy, I want you to repeat after me, because they say you're dead. They say they can't get a pulse. They can't get a reading on you, but I know you're alive. I know you're still living. Repeat after me. The Lord is my shepherd. His lips move. So the Lord is my shepherd. I said, I shall not want. His lips moved to us, shall not want. We did it to the whole 23rd Psalm. By the time I finished, they had come, hallelujah, from the respiratory, and they put a tube down in his throat and put him in intensive care. You can't pronounce a man dead, even if you can't feel his pulse, even if you don't feel a heartbeat, but his lips are moving. God is an awesome God. And we've got to believe to release that element of faith. We've got to let the word in us grow it so we can believe. Hallelujah. God moved for our day, and he was able to come home. Hallelujah. Why? Because he believed. When I was telling him, he believed. And that's all God wants us. He just wants us to believe what his word says. Not what we feel. Not how we feel. Forget all of that. It's the word. I mean, I don't just forget like you're not really hurting. I'm saying put it and let it be first. Hallelujah. Over in Ephesians 2 and 8, you see, we've got to let people know that salvation isn't based on hope. It's not based on want, but it's based on faith. It takes faith. And we thank God for his amazing grace that saves us. In Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace are ye saved through faith. Over in John 6:37, it says that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Glory to God. He just wants us, he will not cast us aside. He will not cast us out. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 10 and 13. It says, for whosoever, not a certain people, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, but shall be saved. Oh, glory to God. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In verse 10, it says, for with the heart, not the soulish word, not your body, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And what else? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You see, we got to do something. We've got to act on what we believe in our heart. We got to speak it. We got to confess it. We've got to act on it. That's what faith is. It says now, present tense, N-O-W, present tense. Not hoping. These are ways that we find out what faith is opposed to what hope is. So you would tell a person that's salvation what the word of God says. That's why we've got to get it within us, that we can speak it into somebody else. And we will endeavor them to act on the word of God right then. Let them, as you're speaking that, and faith begins to leap up inside of them, then get them to act on that faith right then, to give their heart to God, to accept him right then. Hallelujah. And whether it's the salvation or whether it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether it's healing for our body or healing for somebody else, or for answer to prayer. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You know, but it seems like we just seem to stumble over the same words, over the same things, the same stumbling block or stumbling things to get in our way. And we stumbled over instead of being able to firmly stand on the word of God. In other words, we're saying we hope God hears our prayer. We hope God is going to move. We hope we're going to be healed. Oh, we hope we're going to be. Oh, Pastor, I hope I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost. Someone said, I just believe. I believe I get my petition sometimes. Sometimes it's futuristic. That's not right now. Right now, faith. Hope is sometimes. Person may call it believing, but it's not believing. It's still hope. So we need to help them to not want God to do something for them in the future, but want him to do something for them right now. What did Hebrews 11:1 say? It says, now faith is tolerable, shut up. That is present tense in the way you look at it. Remember, if it is not now, it is not faith. Because faith is present tense. Hope is future tense. If you're not putting the answer off into the future, then you are not believing. If you're putting it off into the future, you're not believing, you're hoping. And that's the reason why the word doesn't work for so many people, so many believers. We've got to get the right believing in the right tense. We got to get it over into the present tense. Hallelujah. Not in the future. Believe that he has done something and is doing something right now. You see, there are people that say that, especially when it comes to healing, so many people say, Pastor, I don't understand why I can't and why I haven't received my healing. I know God promised to heal me. I know he did. Get that straight. You see, God has not promised us. He didn't promise to heal us. Some people say, doesn't the word of God say himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses? Over in Matthew 8:17. Yes. Well, isn't that a promise? That isn't a promise. That's a fact. It happened. A promise is something that's to come. A fact is what's already been done. And that's what he's telling us. It's a statement. That's a statement that he bare our infirmities. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you. Many times we call these scriptures and others like them promises, but they're not promises. They're facts. They're statements of fact. And God wants us to act on them. What Jesus has already provided for us is a fact. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane agonizing before his Father, he took the curse of us not able to operate in our own will. He gave it back to us to destroy that curse that Satan had put on us with Adam and Eve. When he went to the whipping post, and they struck him on his back, 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails wrapped up in bone and metal and glass, and literally ripped his back apart. That's not a promise. That's a bear that for us, that we wouldn't have to. When they nailed his hands to the cross, that released us, that our hands would bring forth fruitful things, no longer as Adam, when God cursed the ground. That curse was released. that whatsoever our hands touch it, it will come, it will be a blessing. That crown of thorns on his head that was pushed down into his head and his brow, that released us from the curse of poverty, wasn't a promise. That was a fact. When they nailed his feet to the cross,
yes,
oh God, that released us. That wherever our feet shall trod, believing by faith, hallelujah, we can have what we say. Glory be to God. My mother and I walked around a car in Boonshine Pontiac 7 times. She didn't have a deposit to put down. They gave her that car, called her and said, come and get it now. Now faith is. Walked around my house, hallelujah, that had 14 rooms in the dark 7 times. I shook her to my car, yeah. And God gave it to me. So the house was reduced over half. When I signed those papers, it shot up behind us. You see, believing God released us to do that. He took that curse off our feet. He took that curse out of our hands. Those are things that have already been taken care of. What does he want us to do? To believe. He wants us to accept it. To act on it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Faith, Peter 2:24, who his own self bear our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Present tense. Hallelujah. All we have to do is ask him, thank him for manifesting what he has already done in us.
Now.
Manifest it. Oh, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Doesn't matter if you still feel some pain. You let that devil know, hey, I've already given that to God. I've given it to Jesus. I thank him for it. And I'm going to keep on thanking him for it. And you might as well back off. You lost. Talk to that Russian. Let him know you don't have me. Oh, God. I'm almost giving out of time. What you? Okay. Faith is present here. I gave you an illustration last week about the little lady that had been in a wheelchair for 4 years. And she couldn't walk. And she was so tired of being in that wheelchair because she was a burden on her family. And she got in the prayer line. And hallelujah, they brought her to this revival. And she got in the prayer line. And the pastor began to pray for her, the evangelist, rather. And she asked her, do you have faith to believe that Jesus can bring you up out of that wheelchair? And she said, oh, yes, I'm hoping. I'm just hoping he can. And she just started crying and screaming and oh, God, do it for me, good. Until she became hysterical. And he had to shake her and tell her, stop, sister, because he kept trying to get her to stop. And she got louder and louder. And the congregation got angry with him because he shook that woman, and they pulled the brakes up on him, and he could do nothing to heal lame. If a person asks you for directions, and you give them directions to get to a certain place, and then they pull off from you, and you see they're going in the wrong direction, won't you go and stop them and tell them, no, turn around, my brother, this is the way you need to go. But that is what this pastor was doing. He wanted her to stop so she could hear him, so he could teach her right there how to get the faith that she needed. But they didn't believe. They put the brakes up on her. And when he explained that, he told me, now, wouldn't you want to go help that person? And he asked her, wouldn't you want to go help that person? And she said, yes. So he said, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus wants to heal you. But it's not the hopeless. And with Jesus, over in Mark 6 and 5, hallelujah, you see, even the people in Nazareth poured up the brakes on Jesus. He says, and he, Jesus, could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. He didn't say he wouldn't do any mighty work. He said he couldn't do any mighty work. But the Greek reads that Jesus laid his hands on a few people with minor ailments. In other words, the only ones God healed in Nazareth under the ministry of Jesus were a few people. Why? Mark 6 and 6 gives us the answer. And he, Jesus, marveled because of their unbelief. They can put the brakes on you. So you have to work on the congregation. You have to bring them into that faith level to believe that what you're doing and what you're saying is of God. Hallelujah. And that woman did walk. She did believe after he explained that to her. You see, we got to listen to the words that's been spoken to us to encourage us through the word of God, how to believe so that we can receive. Hallelujah. And when we obey what we're being told to do through the word of God, then God can act. So God wants to know that faith is of the heart and not of the head. Turn your faith loose by saying what you believe. And not let any doubt be in it. Mark 11:23-9. These are scriptures I want you to read, and they will help you to turn your faith loose by saying what you believe. Because faith can't be released out of your heart toward God without you saying what you believe. Faith simply won't work without an expression or action. With the few minutes that we have left, we have my daughter that's on the line and my grandson. And I desire your prayers for them, for COVID-19 has struck in their family, in their home. I ask you to believe with me. Mark 11:23. Believe that they receive the total healing that God has for them and for others all over this world, families that have been struck with it, and for the families that have lost their loved ones. Oh, God, pray for those, and don't be selfish in your prayers, but let God, through your heart, reach out for those that are in dire need, that can't pray for themselves, that can't reach him for them. Satan is taking as many souls to hell as he can because he knows his time is getting close, that he'll be able to rule over this world for a short period of time. But God, you shall receive salvation, healing, whatever you need in Jesus' name. Always say in Jesus' name. To God the Father, in the name of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is the power, the dunamis, that carries these things out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the word.
Yes.
And God is. Know the scripture. He is. says, I am that I am. He's everything you need when you need it, where you need it, how you need it. And his Son and his Holy Spirit work. God bless you. Prophetess, if you would hit number one and give us our end in prayer and benediction, please. Have they cut us out?
Amen. Okay, prophetess. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now, thank God. Go ahead.
Father God, we thank you for everything that was said and done. We thank you for your blessings, Father God. We thank you for Apostle and Rev. Munda and everyone on the line. We thank you for having a line. And we thank you for keeping us in the name of Jesus, keeping us covered. And we ask, Father God, through the power of the Holy Ghost and your Son, Jesus' name, that you will continue to go with us. Watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from the other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. God bless every one of you. Good night. We love you. Hallelujah.